Gospel of John, and today we're continuing our study of John chapter number 8. Let's go to John chapter 8 together. Good to see you today on this dreary, rainy day. But as we will see today, doesn't matter whether the sun is shining outside, if you've got the light of the world in your heart, then you are beaming with brightness, the brightness of Jesus Christ. Let's go to John 8. We want to look at one verse today. Normally we chew on about a paragraph, at least 10 verses usually as we've been studying. But every once in a while, we park on a verse. And John 8:12 is sort of like John 3:16. It's hard to just fly through John 3:16. You sort of want to park there and think about the great truth of God loving the world and giving his son for us so that we would not perish but have everlasting life. Well, John 8:12 is one of those great verses in the Gospel of John. It says in verse 12, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Let's pray for a moment and ask God's Spirit to teach us this verse. Lord, we know that apart from you, we would learn nothing. We would not grow. We would not mature. We need your Holy Spirit. So we pray that you would teach us, that you would work in our hearts and help us to forget about the busyness of life, the situations and concerns of the world. Help us not to be concerned about anything else except you. I pray that you would focus us, cause us to worship you and to sit at your feet now, not be busy and cumbered about in our minds and in our thoughts, but to just sit at your feet like Mary did. I pray that you would teach us and show us about yourself. And help us, Lord, to be closer to you than ever before at the conclusion of this message. And for those in our midst that are not yet in the light, those who are not born again, not saved, may your Spirit touch their heart and draw them to salvation. Have mercy upon their souls. Pull them out of darkness into the marvelous light of yourself. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll never forget what happened to me way back in March of 76 when I came to know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. That day when I called upon him, that Saturday morning, when I left that place after being witnessed to by Victor Zelensky, as I left that post office, of all places, where I heard the gospel for the first time in my life and came to ask Jesus to save me, the whole world was a brighter place. After asking Jesus to come into my life, it's like my whole life lit up immediately. I'm not talking about some charismatic experience today. I'm talking about a real spiritual encounter with God through Jesus Christ. My spiritual understanding became enlightened within me. I was lost. I was in darkness. And after knowing Jesus, after coming to trust him, it's like the lights went on. Spiritual truths that I never understood before now made sense. And the light of the Word of God flooded this dark soul as Jesus had come to take up residence in my heart. What a great day that was for me, and I'm sure those of you who are saved could say, amen, my world has become brighter too since I've trusted the Lord Jesus. The religion of the Lord Jesus Christ is a religion of light. One of the most splendid descriptions of our Heavenly Father is the fact that the Bible says God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. 1 John 1:5. James says that every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. James 1:17. The Lord Jesus declares that those who seek to do the will of God are called the children of light. John 12, verse 36. And here in John 8, 12, our Savior never said a more splendid thing about Himself than when He uttered this declaration, I am the light of the world. Do you know the Jewish rabbis taught that the Messiah, when Messiah would come, He would bring light, and they believed that the Messiah was light. Light was one of the names of the Messiah. Daniel 2:22 says, He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with Him. The light dwells with Him. The Bible says in Luke 2:32 that when Jesus came into this world, that He was a light to lighten the Gentiles, and He was the glory of thy people Israel. You know, the Bible describes Jehovah as being light. Yahweh, Jehovah, the name for God in the Old Testament. He is called light in Psalm 27:1. David said, The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? Isaiah 60:19 talks about the future kingdom. When the sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. So, the Lord is light. And for Jesus now to say, I am the light of the world, would be to say, I am God. For God is the light. In John's Gospel, as you know, Jesus uses many I am descriptions in referring to Himself. He said to the woman at the well that He was the living water, that those who would drink of Him would find spiritual refreshment. He said in John 6:35, I am the bread of life, because He satisfies the hunger of those who are spiritually destitute. He said in John 10, verse 7 and verse 9, I am the door, because He is the entryway into eternal life. In John 10, verse 11, He said, I am the good shepherd, because He leads and feeds and protects His children. He said in John 11, 25, I am the resurrection and the life, because just as He raised Lazarus from the dead, so He gives life to all who trust Him. He said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, because without Him, we have no way, we have no truth, we have no life. He is the source of all of those. In John 15, 1, He said, I am the vine, because all who are connected to Him will bear fruit. And He says, I am, in the book of John. He's the great I am. Jesus is the great I am, and we've already seen how He said, I am the bread of life. Well, today we come along to one of those other great I Ams of Jesus, and that is, I am the light of the world. What a statement. Now, the need for sunlight is tremendous. On a day like this, where we don't see very much of it, we perhaps come into church and we might be a little bit gloomy. I sense that today. I see those yawns. And we might be a little bit gloomy today because we woke up and it looked dismal, rain coming down. Now, I know some people say, well, I like rainy days. Well, I'm not one of them. I'll say that. I'm thankful for rain, though. But I wish it would rain at night and be sunny every day. Because I like light. As a matter of fact, I like light so much I cut some extra windows into our house where we lacked a few windows. I said, I'll cut a few holes in the wall and make some more windows because I'm a person who likes light. And I think we all do. Think about it. Without sunlight, there would be no life at all. There'd be no life. Nothing can exist apart from the energy that is supplied by the sun. There would be no plant life, and if there's no plant life, there's no animal life. If there was no sun, there would be no water cycle. There would be no seasons. There would just be darkness and coldness, and the earth would be a dark, gloomy dungeon. The earth would be lifeless, useless. It would be of no value, this planet that we live on. If you go to places on the earth where there is limited sunlight, you will find that the people there are generally colder than those who live in climates where there's more sunlight. You know, I made this observation. Now, don't call me a racist by saying this, because I'm going to say something right now. I believe that a lot of white Europeans are pretty cold people. You go to people in South America, or you go to people down in the islands, or people in Africa, or southern climates, you'll find they're generally more friendly people. Why is that? Because people up in the north tend to hibernate in their houses a lot. And therefore, they don't get to know the neighbors. But those down there are out. They're more out in the open. There's more of a friendliness, or more of a friendly spirit in many countries where there is more sunlight and more exposure to the light. It's just a general observation that I've made. And I think it's true if you studied it out. But places on earth today where there is limited sunlight, it's often more depressing. It's often more less friendly. As a matter of fact, this time of year, I would not want to live up in Alaska. You know, in the summer, yes, because they get a lot of solar exposure in the summer, but not this time of year. No wonder somebody called me from Alaska yesterday and he wanted to talk all afternoon. I was wondering, why does this guy not want to hang up? Well, at the Feast of Tabernacles, the Jews would light a huge candelabra in the temple at night, and it would remind the Israelites of how they wandered in the wilderness and how God had guided them for those years by a pillar of fire and a cloudy pillar by day, a pillar of fire by night. And so they would light up a candelabra at this Feast of Tabernacles, which Jesus is speaking in the context of, and now he teaches these people that he was the light of the world. So he uses this occasion to teach about his light. The Old Testament prophets foretold of the Messiah being called the Son of Righteousness. As Malachi 4:2 says, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall." In other words, the Son of Righteousness would one day come. And that is a reference to the Messiah. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is Jehovah God, the Messiah, and here he says in verse 12, "I am the light of the world." And I want to show you several things as we today dissect, pick apart, apply some exegesis, and try to pull out some principles out of this one verse of Scripture, because I believe that every single word is powerful in verse number 12. And sometimes we just read a statement and, oh, well, we go on our way and it doesn't impact us. But today I want us to slow down a little bit and just notice these words very carefully in verse 12. First of all, we find in our text that the light of the world is a personal light. It's a personal light. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." I want to emphasize that word "I" for a moment. In this verse, Jesus draws an analogy between himself and the natural sun. Now, the major difference between the two is that one light, the one that we don't see much of today, but we know it's out there, one light is a created object. It's impersonal. However, Jesus is the Creator himself. He is the personal creator who says, I am the light of the world. If you compare and contrast the physical Son with the Son of God, you will find that the physical Son was created on the fourth day, according to Genesis 1, verses 14 and 19, whereas the Son of God is eternal. He always existed. The physical Son illuminates only half of our day, whereas the Son of God is omnipresent and He's always available. The physical Son emits tons of irreplaceable energy every day. By the way, if evolution was true, which it is not, the Sun, if it was as old as they say it was, which it is not, would have been extinguished long ago. Because every day the Sun is emitting irretrievably millions of tons of energy never to come back again. So really, given enough time, the sun would burn out of existence. Whereas the Son of God never loses power. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is omnipotent, and there's never any power loss with the Son of God. Now the physical sun, too much exposure to the physical sun will do you harm. If you've ever had a sunburn, or you've heard about certain skin cancers, you know that too much exposure to the physical sun does damage. However, you can never get enough of the Son of God. Amen. You can never get too much exposure to Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, the more the better. The physical sun will one day shine no more, the scripture teaches. However, the Son of God will shine forever. Revelation 21:23. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, will be the light of the new city of Jerusalem that we will dwell in for eternity. There will be no need for the sun because Jesus is the light of the world. Now the light, when Jesus says, I am the light of the world, notice the light of the world is not an it. The light of the world is not a thing. It's not an impersonal force like electricity is. But the light of the world is a person. My friends, Jesus doesn't merely give light. He is the light. He does not merely show you the way. He is the way. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. So we see that the light is a personal light. Secondly, we find that the light of the world is a present light. Notice the next word. I am the light of the world. Jesus does not say, I was the light of the world, as if his light shone one day and then was extinguished. Nor does he say, I will be the light of the world off into some heavenly horizon. But rather he says, I am the light, which shows that he is the light of the world right now in the present. But some might say, what about John 9 and verse 5? Where the Bible says, where Jesus says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. My friends, the light incarnate was temporarily seen. While Jesus walked this earth, they physically were with him, the light of the world. However, after his death, resurrection, and ascension, Jesus sent down his Holy Spirit, who illuminates the minds of those who are lost and brightens their understanding as to the nature of God and His salvation and of Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of God up to this very day enlightens all who comes to Jesus. That's why 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, listen now, in the face of Jesus Christ. It's only as you come to the face of Jesus Christ, when you come face to face with Him, you come face to face with the light of the knowledge of God. And that, my friends, happens every time somebody puts their trust in Christ. Today, around this world, people are going to experience the light of the world. They are going to have a personal relationship with the Son of God starting today, because Jesus still is. He was, will be, but He is the light of the world. He says, I am the light of the world. Thirdly, we see that the light of the world is an exclusive light. Exclusive. By that I mean, He's the only one. There is no other. Notice He says, I am the light. Whenever we put the definite article in front of a noun, it shows something very special about that subject or object. And here it shows that Jesus is the only light. He doesn't say, I am a light, as if there are many from which to choose. Jesus does not say, just pick anyone you want. He said, no, I am the light, which implies I am the only one. He is not one light among many others. There are not other sources of light. But you say, well, doesn't the Bible say of Christians, ye are the light of the world? Doesn't it say that? Yes, of course it says that. It says it in Matthew 5, 14 to 16, if you want to read it. How Jesus called His followers the salt of the earth and the light of the world. But our light does not originate with us. We are like the moon. The moon has no light in and of itself. I was just reading an article this week about one of the men who stepped on the moon. And I was thinking, boy, wouldn't that have been wonderful to go up there and be a man to step on the moon? And he put a picture of his family right on the moon's dust. If anyone ever goes up there, perhaps they could see this picture of this explorer with his children and wife. And it's sitting right there on the moon. It would be amazing to go up, but all you'd see is dust. You'd see dust and, you know, it just looks like a barren desert, no life at all on the moon. But the moon reflects the light of the sun. The moon has no light in and of itself, and you have no light in and of yourself. Neither does any other person in this world. The only one who has light, the only one who is the source of light, the creator of light, and the giver of light is Jesus alone. And any light that we radiate, any light that we shine, we reflect Jesus. So when He says you're the light of the world, it's because you are reflecting Him. You see? But Jesus is the only one. He's the only light of the world. You know, for our solar system, there is only one sun. So Jesus is the only light for the entire human race. Now, some people would say, this only stuff sounds pretty narrow. Sounds pretty narrow. You're pretty narrow, Pastor Sawyer. Why don't you broaden your horizons a little bit? Our society always looks at the straight and narrow in a negative sense. However, isn't a straight and narrow road better than a crooked and confusing one? Which directions would you rather follow? The plain and simple given by Jesus Christ, or the confusion that the world offers? I'll take the straight and narrow. And you know, my friends, if Jesus is the only God, and the Bible does teach there's only one God, not many gods, then that means if He's God, He must be the light. And there is no other. There's no other source of light. As the Bible said in the beginning of John, if I could read it to you, in John, as he began this gospel, he said in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. If you say, who's the Word talking about? If you were to skip down to verse 14, you'd find that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You'd find He's referring to Jesus when He says the Word. Now, back to John 1, verse 2. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Now listen carefully. In Him was life, And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Why didn't they know him? Well, if you go to John chapter 3, you'll find out that the reason is because people are in sin. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And so people avoid the light. Get me away from the light. But I'll tell you, Jesus is the only source of light. We find next, not only is our precious Savior a personal light, a present light, an exclusive light, but fourthly, we find that the light of the world is an expansive light. An expansive light. He says, I am the light of the world. The word world is the cosmos. Jesus is the light of the entire cosmos. Jesus is the light to all, everyone throughout this earth. He is the only true light. That's why the Bible says in John 1:9, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. See, anybody who is going to come to the light has to come to Jesus. In the New Age movement, they offer you many other lights that you can check out. Those are demons. They may come in different names and different packages, but it's demonic. For Satan himself can transform himself into an angel of light. And so they're seeking after demonic false lights. But Jesus is the true light, and he is a light that is available to all in order for you to be saved. The scripture teaches that Jesus is not merely the Savior of the Jews, nor is he the Savior merely of the whites or of the Americans, but he is the only source of salvation to anybody around this whole world, regardless of your skin color, regardless of your culture, regardless of your geography. Jesus is an available Savior. He is an equal opportunity Savior. To all races, to all kindreds, to all tongues, and to all peoples. What I am saying is there is no group of people that get into heaven any other way than by Jesus. He's the light of the whole world. You know, Jeffrey Vasquez and I were talking about India, and he brought up about his trip to India and what a blessing it is to be able to worship in a foreign field and to see these people singing songs, hearing messages, and to know that these people, as far away as they were in these remote villages of India, have come to know the true Savior, Jesus. And it's a joy, you know, no matter where you go in this world, you'll meet Christians. All over the earth, you'll meet believers. They may be gathered in a small house. They may be gathered in a small hut. They may be out in the open field. They might be in a fancy building, but I'll tell you, God's people are everywhere because Jesus is the light to all people, a light to the Gentiles all over the earth. He is an expansive light. We find next that the light of the world is an abiding light. What I mean by that is he abides right with you. You can actually approach this light, walk with this light, be close to this light, accompany this light, and the Bible says that he that followeth me. See, we come now to the key phrase of this entire verse. On this phrase hinges whether or not the light will benefit you. Although the light is available to all, it is an expansive light. And even though the light is present for all, that light is not attained by all. Nor is his light beneficial to all. It only benefits, his light only benefits those who follow him. As the disciples followed Jesus, so we must follow by faith. The condition to benefiting from the light is following the light. Just as Israel followed that glorious light. If you've been reading the book of Numbers this week, you would find that the light hovered over their tabernacle. And God said when the glory cloud, when that glorious radiant light rose up, that was a sign, pack your bags, we're moving out. And so that cloud, that glorious, brilliant, bright light of God would rise and then it would move. And when it moved, Israel was to move. When it would stop, Israel was to stop. The point was that they had to follow the light wherever it went. If they follow, they're blessed. If they don't, they're cursed. If they follow, they're protected. If they don't, they are vulnerable to destruction. And so the light, which by the way was Jesus Christ, led them those 40 years in the wilderness. And so it is today. How God leads His dear children along as they follow Him. Now, to follow Jesus implies two things. Number one, He must take the initiative and lead. And number two, we must submit and follow. First, He must take the initiative and lead. In other words, His sovereign direction must be given. And then secondly, you must have a submissive obedience to that direction. In order to follow Jesus, He must take the lead, we must submit. And His light will accompany us. It will be available on a daily basis. But we must follow Him. That is the condition. Following is the required response to the light. Jesus did not say, he that admires the light will have the light of life. He does not call upon us to like the light or be fascinated with the light, but He says, follow the light. We can talk about the light, we can study about the light, all we want, and it's not going to help us. We've got to follow the light. Jesus reveals the light about every subject that is important to us. Jesus reveals the truth about marriage, interpersonal relationships, parenting, church polity, any kind of relationship. If you want to know the light on anything, you better follow Jesus. Jesus does not merely say, believe in the light, although it is obvious that before you follow a light, you got to believe in the light. That goes without saying. That before you follow it, you better believe in it, right? So before I follow Him, I have to believe in Him. But here He says, not merely that we should recognize Him as the light, or that we should know about Him as the light, but He says you must follow the light. So many are simply content to know about Christ. They are content to believe on Christ. But the question is, do you follow Him? How closely are you following Him? As Matthew Henry wrote, it is our duty to follow Him, to submit ourselves to His guidance, and in everything take directions from Him, in the way that leads to happiness. Many follow false lights that lead them to destruction, but Christ is the true light. And you know, my friends, the light only benefits us as we follow it. We find next that the light of the world is a protective light. A light that gives safety. Notice the Bible says, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. You will not walk in darkness if you follow the light. The word darkness in the Bible is a picture of lostness. It is a picture of sin. The word darkness is descriptive of spiritual blindness and ignorance, moral corruption and wickedness. If you study the word darkness in the New Testament, you will find that secretive sins are called darkness. 1 Corinthians 5, chapter 4, verse 5 says, "Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness." And so there are hidden things of darkness. So darkness is defined and described as dealing with hidden darkness, a dark sin, secretive sin. Also, the word darkness is used in the Bible to speak of spiritual ignorance. Spiritual ignorance. As I quoted 2 Corinthians 4:6, "For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And so he pulls us out of spiritual blindness and darkness. As Ephesians 5:8 says, "For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Ephesians 5:11, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." 1 Thessalonians 5:4, "But ye brethren are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness." In other words, if we're saved, we're transferred out of that realm of spiritual darkness into the light of God. The Bible describes satanic forces as being darkness. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Colossians 1:13 speaks about how God hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Do you hear how darkness is used in the Bible? Hatred is called darkness. 1 John 2:9, "He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness, even until now." 1 John 2:11, "But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes." Hell is a place of darkness. 2 Peter 2:4, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment." 2 Peter 2:17, "These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom is the midst of darkness reserved forever." Jude 1:6, "And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day." Jude 1:13, "Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever." Bible says that in hell, it is a place of outer darkness. Now God is the opposite of darkness. That is why in 1 John 1:5, "This then is the message which we heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." And if you've come to God, the darkness in your life also flees. That's why 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." 1 John 2:8, "Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth." So my friend, what category do you fall into? Are you a child of darkness or a child of the light? If you follow Jesus, you're in the light. And the Bible says in verse 12, you will not walk in darkness. To walk in darkness means to be aimless, without direction, to wander through life, stumbling over obstacles, stumbling into traps placed by the enemy of your soul. The Bible teaches that when Jesus saves, the light comes on. There have been many times I've walked through this auditorium and it's been dark. And I'd bump into a pew Or maybe I'd walk down the steps to leave this building and nobody else is around. I turn off the light at the stop and I'm walking down and I'm... Get that last step. And you've been there. When you don't have light, you don't have security. When you don't have light, you bump into things in life. When you don't have light, you trip and fall. And so it is in our spiritual life. If you don't have Jesus, you are stumbling. You are lost. Can't find your way. You have no direction. You have no leading. You have no aim, no purpose for your existence. If you don't have Jesus, you have nothing. You may have a lot of money. You may have a fat bank account. You may think you have a secure job. But if you don't have Jesus, you don't have anything. You're in darkness, my friend. But God loves you. And God wants to pull you out of that realm of darkness and bring you into the kingdom of his dear son so that you will no longer stumble and trip and fall. And it's hard to go through the school of hard knocks. Some people say, I only learn through the school of hard knocks. I think it's, no, you will only learn through the school of hard knocks. But if you walk in the light, if you follow close to Jesus, you won't have to learn through the school of hard knocks. You can learn through precept. You can learn through his word. You don't have to experience the results of sin in order for you to learn. You follow Jesus. You won't walk in darkness anymore. Light gives direction. It shows which way is best to walk. That's why Psalm 119:105 says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Light is a revealer. And Jesus is a revealer. That's why people don't want to come to him, because his light exposes their darkness. His righteousness is a rebuke to their unrighteousness. And that's why, as when lights are turned on in a room, the cockroaches flee. That is why so many run from Jesus. Because they want to live in their sin. And they don't want to come to the light. But Christ's sinlessness, his light, reveals our sinfulness, our darkness. But then he expels it when you follow him. Christ reveals right from wrong. Just as physical light shows a distinction between darkness and light, so Jesus reveals a distinction between darkness and light. You see, my friend, to be in darkness, to walk in darkness, as the Bible says, you won't walk in darkness any longer. It means to live a lifestyle trapped in sin with no victory over the impulses and desires of the world, flesh, or the devil. To be in the realm of darkness means that you will be with the wrong people, in the wrong places, at the wrong time. But if you follow Jesus, you'll find safety. Pitfalls can be avoided. His light will show the real from the unreal. In following Christ, you'll see the true way, and Jesus will never lead you to a place that will hurt you. He only leads to the best place in life. His light is available, my friend. It's available now. We don't have to live by trial and error, bumping into things in the dark and getting hurt and ending up at the wrong destination. We can follow him. But Jesus, this is interesting. When I saw this statement, Jesus did not say, in order to follow me, you must stop walking in darkness. Very interesting. He didn't say that. He did not say, in order to follow me, you have to stop walking in your darkness. No, he doesn't say that. He says, rather, follow me and you won't walk in that darkness. See, Satan, he puts the cart before the horse. The old devil tries to get you to think, yeah, I got to come to Jesus, but first I got to clean up my act. I'll think about Jesus, but first I got to get my life in order, and I've got to stop walking in darkness, and I've got to live a new life. Then I'm going to come to him and be worthy of him. You'll never come to him. You'll die in your sin. You'll perish. He does not say, in order to follow me, you need to stop walking in darkness. Rather, he says, if you follow me, you will not walk in darkness. But to the contrary, you will have the light of life. The light of the world is a life-saving light. You will have the light of life. Just as life depends on light for its very existence and sustenance, so our life depends on Christ's light for us to have eternal life and abundant life here on earth. Many of you collect plants. That those plants, most of them require some sunlight. You give them sunlight, they thrive. You deprive them of sunlight, they shrivel up and they droop down and they die. In our backyard, we've got trees, and the trees cover the grass, and the grass doesn't get the light, therefore the grass doesn't grow. So what do we have in our backyard? Mud. But if you've ever noticed that being in the presence of light brings life, that lifeless, droopy plant suddenly surges to life when the sunlight reaches it. So it is with Jesus Christ. He is the light of life. He is the light that brings life, like he did for Saul of Tarsus. That man who was going to persecute Christians and have them put to death came into contact with Jesus. And it's interesting how Acts 9 describes Jesus. As Jesus appears to Saul as a bright light shining like the sun, which is the same way John saw Jesus in Revelation 1. But as Saul sees the brightness of his light, he falls down off of his horse onto the ground, and there he is, blinded for some days because he looked on the glorious light of Jesus. By the way, he was saved when he came to put his trust in Jesus Christ. And you know something? The Bible says that like scales fell off of his eyes. Something like scales came off of his eyes. And spiritually speaking, that happens to everyone who gets saved. You get the scales taken off of your eyes. You now have the light of life. Now life is brighter, livelier, joy-filled, where before it was gloomy, depressing, sinful. You were a slave to darkness, but when you got saved, you come into a new realm, a realm of glorious light. Every one of us needs light. Apart from light, man is in darkness about God. We don't know his nature, his character, or his plans. Apart from light, man is in darkness about God's way of salvation. They will invent all kinds of means of approach to God. None of them will work. Apart from light, man is in darkness about God's purpose for his or her life. We need light. But my friend, if you want light, you better come to the right place. That's to Jesus. Jesus is the light who illuminates our minds as to the nature and character of God. He is the light that shows us the way of salvation and the way to abundant living. And there's not a person in here, unless he's really messed up, that doesn't want abundant living. Jesus said, I've come to give life and life more abundantly. We need his light to survive spiritually, just as we need the sun's light to survive physically. We need the light of Jesus Christ. My friend, is your life dark today? I believe it's possible for somebody to come to the light and then for a season in their life to step away from that close fellowship with the light and start walking in darkness again. But I'll tell you what. You got to start following Jesus. You get back to following him and you'll have the light of life again. You'll stop wandering in darkness. Come to him today. Follow him. Be close to him. As John Wesley said, he that followeth me shall in no wise walk in darkness, in ignorance, wickedness, misery, but shall have the light of life. He that closely, humbly, and steadily follows me shall have the divine light continually shining upon him, diffusing over his soul knowledge, holiness, joy, till he is guided by it to life everlasting. Jesus is the light of the world. You've got to come to the light today. Alexander the Great, you've heard his name, was regent of Macedonia at the age of 16, a victorious general at the age of 18, king at the age of 20, and then he died as a drunkard before he was 33. Having conquered the then known world, his father was Philip of Macedonia. He was also a military genius who invented the famous Greek phalanx. Now, while Alexander was still in his early teens, Philonicus, the Thessalonian, offered to sell Alexander's father, Philip, his horse. Now, his horse was a trained horse, but it was a vicious horse. Philip took his son to see the horse and to go through some paces with the horse, but the stallion proved so unmanageable that none of the men could even mount him. Alexander noticed that he seemed to be afraid of his own shadow. So he quieted the horse by turning his head away from his shadow into the light. He would turn his head toward the sun, and this had a calming effect on the horse. Alexander mounted the horse and then let him run freely for a while, but soon he would have to keep heading him toward the sun, and eventually he got him under the control. Millions today are afraid of their own shadow. The shadow of their evil deeds. The haunting shadow of their own guilty conscience. The shadow of hundreds of fears and failures. But let somebody point them to the light of the world, Jesus Christ. And their shadows immediately fall behind them. For Jesus is the light of the world, and those who follow him shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And the closer one walks with him, the more light he has. The farther one gets from Christ, the deeper are the shadows. Now, who would be so foolish to walk away from Christ and walk into a realm of darkness when that walk will get darker and darker, and the shadows will get deeper and eventually plunge you into the realm of eternal darkness and damnation? Who would be so foolish to go that route? My friend, you need to come to Jesus today. He's the light of the world. He can save you and just lighten up your whole life. Your whole countenance will change. Your whole perspective will change. Jesus will give joy where there was misery. He'll give contentment where there was lust. Jesus will just change everything about you. My friend, if you're a Christian and you're not following close to him, then the degree to which you are distant from Jesus will determine the degree to which there's a fog around you, a darkness. But you know, God didn't ordain for you to walk there. You're not a child of darkness. You're a child of the light. Amen. We need to walk with our Master. Do as he says we should do. Submit to him. Follow me. Jesus said, you will not walk in darkness, but will have the light that will give you abundant, joy-filled life. I'd like everybody to bow your head and close your eyes for a moment. I want to ask you two questions today. First of all, how many in here would say, I have come to the light of Jesus Christ. I know I'm saved. I have trusted him. I know that I'm walking in the light, and I'm not ashamed of the light. Would you raise your hand if that's your testimony today? Say, I'm not ashamed of the light. Praise the Lord. Amen. Not everybody could raise your hand. You may lower your hands. Perhaps the reason you couldn't raise your hand is because you've never yet come to the light. You've heard about the light. You've admired the light. Perhaps you've even told others about the light, but you yourself have not come to the light. Today's your day. Today's your opportunity. and could very well be the last opportunity for you to come to Jesus Christ by faith. My second question. How many in here would say, I'm a believer, I'm born again, but I've not been following as closely to Jesus as I should be? And because of this, there's a certain level of darkness in my life that need not be there. I need to get back to a close walk with my Master and follow closely behind Him as He leads me. My desire is to submit to His leading. How many would say, that's me? I've not been walking where I used to walk, or I've not been walking where I ought to walk, but I've got to get back to following close behind my Savior. Would you raise your hand if that's you today? God bless you. You may lower your hands. How many others would say, that's my need? I need to get close to Jesus and start following next to Him, to submit to His lead, to do His will. Anybody else? Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, Lord, I ask You for Your salvation to fall upon those in this room that are lost, those that are in darkness, slaves to their own passions, slaves to their own lusts, miserable people in darkness, hanging out with people of darkness, going into dens of wickedness, doing the things of darkness. Lord, I pray that You'd pull them out of that realm and bring them into the kingdom of Your dear Son. Please save those that are lost in our midst, that are wandering through life. Please have mercy upon their souls. And then, dear God, I pray for those that do know You and they have the light of the world dwelling within them, but they've allowed some disobedience to creep into their life. May they get back to You. May they follow close to You, Lord. May that be their focus, to just get close to You, so that the sins of darkness will just melt away in the radiance of Your light. Thank You, Lord, for meeting with us today and for showing us about Yourself. Help us to keep growing and learning more about You, Lord Jesus. I pray that You'd help these people to understand, to learn, to grow, so that You could bless them in every way. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. James, you have a number?